Good afternoon. Before I introduce the topic, which you already see, I know, I want to just introduce Christianity is mainly two constituents, in case you didn't know. Okay? That's God and you, God and humanity. Two constituents. Okay? And it helps to know God properly, and it definitely helps to know you properly. Okay? Then Christianity begins. I hope you're catching it, because if you have a wrong view of God and wrong view of you, you definitely have a wrong view of everything. If you have a right view of God and wrong view of you, which is, I don't think it's possible, then you have sort of wrong view, and the other way too. But there are mainly two constituents, God and you. That's why we shared a couple weeks ago, your proper view of God is very important, because false view of God and false God you created will not be able to save you. I hope that makes sense, right? And last week, we talked about sin. Okay, what has sin got to do with me? Well, it has everything to do with you, because Bible says you were born as slaves to sin. Every single one of you. Okay? And the Bible says if you say, I'm not a sinner, Bible says you're a liar. Bible says, not me, because you do sin. Okay, sin is not something you do, like you steal a pen from work. That's sin, certainly, but Bible portrays sin much more alive than that. We talked about how sin is reigning, ruling in your life, in your heart. That's why you cannot help but to sin. And every faculty of your being is affected by sin. Your mind is kind of like skewed, and your heart is bitter. I want to talk about that word a lot today, because who goes to hell? Oops, I mentioned the topic. Well, bitterness is the beginning, I think. Bitterness. Bitterness, anger, blame. Not a good sign. Not a good sign. Okay? So today, if you see proper view of God and proper view of you, sin, right? You need the gospel. Until you see these, you don't need the gospel. It's nothing, basically. It's just an accessories or an insurance. At best, a genie's lamp. You know, whenever you need it, you kind of rub the lamp and he pops out and you ask him for what you want. That's God that you created. That's not the God of the Bible. So today, as we continue on with the topic of Christianity explored, because many of you are exploring, I hope. Even the ones who's been going to church all your life, you may or may not have the proper view of God and yourself and therefore Christianity. Okay? So, with that as an introduction, today's message, the titled, Believe It or Not, Hell. Okay? I want you to take a look at it. Hell. You know, we use a lot of expression, I've been to hell. This week. Oh man, that was hell of whatever. I know what the person is saying, but let me just tell you something. You don't know what you're talking about. You really don't know what you're talking about. There is a proper doctrine of hell in the scripture. And the person who spoke about the topic of hell the most, it's not really the Old Testament people, prophets. It's not really the epistles, but it's Jesus himself. So, I don't know whether you believe in hell or not, but Jesus believed. Okay, so let me begin. Okay, this week, this man passed away, person that I admired for so many years. Okay, people say different things about him, but listen to what he preached for 60-some years. Listen to the messages. Not to just mention 250 million people face-to-face he preached. 250 million people in 185 nations. Right? I'm not even talking about that. Listen to the content of his message. He always talks about the love of God, the cross, and where men are heading toward to. Right? We don't even like to talk about things like that. But he passed away this week. He was born in 1918, and 2018, right before he reached his 100th birthday, he passed away this week. And this is what he said about hell, okay? He said, if we had more hell in the pulpit, if we preach more, we would have less hell in the pew. Do you get it? I really do believe this. He is courageous enough to say something like that. We don't even like to mention the word hell, right? But he is saying, if we had more hell in the pulpit, we would have less hell in the pews. Billy Graham, okay? This is Richard Nixon. Okay. Who goes to hell? Very clear, okay? Very clear. Let me read Revelation chapter 20, which is about the final judgment seat of God, which you're all going to be standing. Me too. Okay? Let me read it to you. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, white throne judgment of the seat of Lamb of God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. I highlighted it to see this is plural, and this is singular. Do you see that? There are books, and then there are another book was opened, which is the book of life. The single book is called Book of Life. But the dead were judged by what was written in the books, plural, according to what they have done. In other words, what you have done is recorded. Recorded. And you'll be judged according to what you have done. This is Christian doctrine. Okay? Christian doctrine. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, one more time, each one of them, that's every single one of you, me too, according to what they had done. Okay? What they had done, what you have done. In other words, Bible says you will be responsible for your life. Okay? I will be responsible for my life. Verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. That's hell. And this is the second death, final death. And the lake of fire. And here is the answer. Who goes to hell? Verse 15, if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he will be thrown into the lake of fire. Okay? Wow, I was preparing this week. I could not help but to think about the question, is my name written in the book of life? I want to ask that question to you. Okay? Is your name written in the book of life? The question is not, have you ever walked down the aisle, raise your hand? But the question is your name written in the book of life? Okay? It's a real question. I really want to ask you this question. Prayerfully ask this question. Oh, can I just go back here? You know, I was looking at several documentaries and his life last night while I was at Starbucks. I hang out in Starbucks on Saturday nights. And on his 95th birthday, his children asked him, on a tombstone, Daddy Billy Graham, what would you like to be written on that tombstone? That's the question the children asked him, you know? And he thought about the question, and he said, preacher. That's what I want to be written on my tombstone, preacher, Billy Graham. And I thought about that. Wow. The reason I respect this man, he doesn't fear anything. Right? Preacher is every single one of you is going toward hell, and I preach to you, you need to turn around and come back to Christ. That's a preacher. You're all heading toward destruction. Every single one of you. You don't have to do anything. You are going there. Right? And preacher is the one who's asking you to come back. Yeah, when I heard that, I was tearing last night in Starbucks. Probably people are thinking, he's a weird guy. 10 o'clock, you know, drinking coffee and tearing. I couldn't help. Okay? So how urgent is hell? Okay? Charles Spurgeon. And, you know, it's so interesting. He's from like 150 years ago in England. If you read his sermons, he doesn't hesitate to talk about things like this. Right now, we cringe and we fear, and what are they think will think of me? They don't love me. I mean, the preacher doesn't love you. People say, "Oh, he's gonna say you're gonna say the pastor doesn't love us." No, but Charles Spurgeon, you know, always talk about things like this. And how urgent is hell? Could you listen to this? You are hanging over the mouth of hell by a single thread. And that thread is breaking on your gasp for breath, on your stopping of the heart for a single moment, and you will be in eternal world without God, without hope, without forgiveness. Oh, can you handle it? That's how he preached. Can you face it? Do you think you'll be able to stand before the Lord and just claim that I'm righteous? I have a right to come into the presence of living. Okay, do you think you could do that? I don't think you could do that, right? We need to understand who I am. We need to understand who God is. Then you need the gospel, okay? So, did Jesus believe in hell? Why did he come, okay? And those of you who took Christianity Explored class, we already went through this. It's in the gospel. In fact, all over the gospels. And did Jesus believe in hell? Okay, let me read Mark chapter 9. This is Jesus speaking, okay? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter the life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, okay? To the unquenchable fire. Verse 45, but if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. Notice he's repeating, right? 47, but if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out, right? It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than two eyes to be thrown into hell. Three times he repeated. Same thing, right? And then verse 48, his doctrine of hell, Jesus' doctrine of hell, where the worms does not die and the fire is not quenched. Okay? And people say this is hyperbole. Oh, that's an exaggerated language. I mean, what do you mean, cut the hand? Pluck out the eyes. Cut off your leg. That's hyperbole. It's hyperbole linguistically, but I think what he's saying is not hyperbole, if you understand hell. Okay, we're going to talk about teachings, biblical teaching of hell and doctrine of hell, not your imagination of hell. Okay, so I don't think this is hyperbole, if you understand, if you know what hell is. I don't think it's exaggerating, okay? Charles Spurgeon again about Jesus, okay? It is very remarkable fact that no inspired preacher of whom we have any record has ever uttered such terrible words concerning the destiny of the lost as our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the case? Right? No matter how much I try, I don't think I could speak in that tone that he spoke, that you are heading toward hell. If you just don't have to do anything, you are heading toward hell. You are. I want to be a preacher today. Just like Billy Graham, all these years. R.C. Sproul, okay? He's a, not R.C. Spurgeon. So I wrote that last week. Whatever happened to Christianity, okay? That's my title. This is what he says, R.C. Sproul. There was a time when preachers proclaimed that man is very bad, wicked, and God is really mad, angry God, right? Holy God. In those days, there was a revival, and the churches were strong and influential. Then in the 19th century, it was decided that man is not so bad, right? And God surely is not mad. What happened? We reap the rewards of this spineless Christianity in societies today. I just want to just deliver this straight on to you, okay? Men are not so bad, and God loves me as I am. That's a problematic Christianity. In fact, that's not Christianity. Bible says men are sinful to the depth of our being. Every single one of you. Me too. Apart from the grace of God and the Spirit of God, you hate God. You love yourself. Right? But we make spineless Christianity. Is that what you believe? Okay. Try to convince yourself I'm saved. You have to try really hard to convince yourself. Is that how it works? If you try to convince yourself that's how it works, that's not gonna how it works. When you stand before the judgment seat before the U.S. government, you're driving on Shelter Rock, 100 miles an hour, you hit a cat that belongs to Jennifer Lopez who lives down the block, you will pay for it. If that's not a cat, if that's a human being, you will definitely pay for it. 100 miles an hour. You broke the law. You think, you know, you'll be able to stand before the judge of your supreme government and be able to say, I'm righteous. I'm fine. You think you could do that? I don't think you could do that. How much more before the King of Kings, who have a record of every thought, every action, every motive, every word that you have uttered, every grumbling word is recorded, and you will be penalized accordingly. I don't think we could do that. Okay? So I want to give you some Jesus' teaching about hell. Hopefully this will really clarify a lot of things that we've been making up in our mind. You know, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of hell. A devil with a red coat, with horns, and with a fork kind of thing. It's much worse than that, okay? And we just want to go biblically today and theologically, okay? Number one, from Matthew chapter 25, verse 46 through, I think it should be 56, I think, okay? What is this about? The judgment of sheep and the goats, okay? There's going to be judgment and separation, sheep and the goats. Based on what? Based on your life, according to what you have done, okay? And this is what we could get out of Matthew chapter 25, and this was prepared by Pastor Tom Askell, okay? Four things. Number one, hell is a state of separation. Separation from what? Separation from God. And you'll think, oh, that's not so bad. Atheists would say, oh, that's not a threat. That's what I believe. I want to be separated from God. Jesus said, depart from me, you evildoers, into the eternal fire. That's verse 41. But here's the question. In hell, are you completely separated from God? And the answer is no. God is omnipresent. God is Lord of hell too. This is a place he prepared the devil and his angels and his followers. So he is there, but you are separated from his goodness and his mercy and love. We're going to look at it in Luke chapter 16 teaching. The rich person asked for a drop of mercy. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. One drop of water to cool my tongue. And then Father Abraham said, no, I can't do that. There is no drop of mercy of God. You walk into hell as a slave to sin and follower of the devil and Satan. And you know what happened in hell? Because you are separated from the mercy of God, there is no way you're going to repent. Now you're going to continue to sin. Now, this is really scary if you think about it. As I was thinking about this week, okay? When sin dominates you, what are some symptoms? You're fearful, right? Can you imagine full-blown fear in you? Day after day after day. When you are dominated by sin, you're angry and you're bitter. You want to kill someone. Can you imagine fully blown anger in you? Day after day after day. And you feel guilty. You're fearful. You're fearful that people may find out about you. Your sinfulness. And you're fearful. And can you imagine full blown fear? Day after day after day. And I could go on. And you need to meditate about this. You should. Because that's where you're heading toward to. And you think, oh, no, I'm not. Well, that's what you think. Not according to the scripture. And I'm not saying this without any sympathy. I want to be a preacher to you today. Otherwise, you will head toward destruction. It's not like you extinguish. It's not like you just kind of like expire. You don't exist anymore. No. Didn't you see that? The worms do not die there. And you will continue to sin. And think about this. The punishment must fit the crime. And you continue to sin and crime. So the punishment could never catch up to your sin. That's hell. That's the theology of hell. That's what Jesus taught. Separation from God. No mercy, no forgiveness, just full-blown wrath of God upon you, face to face. Face to face. One-to-one upon you. Your sin upon you. You can't hide. You cannot run away. You can't. That's the reality of hell, okay? Number two, hell is a state of association. What does that mean? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, go to the eternal fire of hell, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. God created hell, in case you're thinking about that question. For whom? Devil and his angels. You think that's a nice place? I don't think that's a nice place, right? So devil and the angels, followers of devil, Revelation chapter 20, thrown into that lake of fire, and you follow that. And you're going to be spending eternity with devil and his followers. Eternity in torment. Don't check out right now, please, people. You got to listen today. Today you got to listen. You got to listen to the scripture. Okay? People who die in their sin as slaves to sin, who refuse to repent, right? Lovers of sin spend eternity with the devil and his followers. And here's a tragic irony, okay? Many of you don't believe in devil. Many of you don't believe in demons and things like that. But if you don't repent, you're going to be spending eternity with the devil. 3. Hell is a state of punishment. Okay? You're not just sending there unjustly. You are sending there because you sinned. You broke the law. You can't drive 100 miles an hour on 35-mile zone, and you did, and you killed someone. That's why you're going there to pay for the penalty. Hell is a place of retribution. Do you understand that? Okay, retribution. What you have done, now you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. You should pay for it. You know, I was reading about the case. What's his name? Larry. What's his last name? Larry. Huh? Larry Sanders. Yeah. Yeah, Sar. Yeah. Yeah, that doctor. And he was convicted of sexually assaulting 165 girls and women and sentenced 175 years in prison. That's just things that was exposed. 175 years in prison. When I read that for the first time, I was like, wow, that's so excessive. That's so unnecessary. Why they do that, you know? He's going to die before that anyway. Right? But that's what he deserves, according to the U.S. justice. Hell is a place of justice. Many of you are asking, God is not just. He is just. He is just. I know you're not, I'm not. We're very not fair, but He is. Okay? That's a place of retribution. John MacArthur says that is not a place of remedial, meaning remedy comes later. After you've 175 years, you finally get out. No, you don't. That's a place of retribution, and your sin will continue. You will continue to sin in hell. You will continue to hate God. You will continue to get mad at other people. You continue to get bitter at other people. You continue to feel sick in your stomach. That's hell, friends. We gotta hate hell. Gotta understand hell. It's a place of retribution. It's not a place of remedial. And the punishment must fit the crime. Many say, you say, oh, that's so excessive, because for finite sin, we are there infinitely. Does that make sense? Well, it makes sense because you continue to sin, you continue to hate God, and punishment may need to be given to your sin, but because you continue, it can never catch up to your sin. That's hell. That's you, that's me, apart from the remedy that God has prepared. That's according to Jesus, okay? Last one, hell is an everlasting state. Okay, what is everlasting? You should meditate about that. 1,000 years. I lived in this country for over 40 years now. Man, I can't even remember when I first came to the States, going to junior high school. Now my children are older than, you know, they're in graduate schools and graduated. Eternal state means eternity. 1,000 years, 1,000 times. Okay? 1,000 years, 1,000 times. There is no ending. You don't make up the rules. But that's what the scripture states. Okay? Rich man and Lazarus, today's story, this is according to Jesus, okay? I'm going to read it, and this is a rich man, poor man story, okay? See which one you could identify with. Okay, rich man, poor man. Rich man has no name, poor man has a name, Lazarus, which I think it is noticeable. Okay, this is the story that Jesus gave. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day, meaning he dressed like a king, okay? All these fancy clothings, okay? Eating sumptuously every single day. And at the gate, okay, poor man, at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, skin sores, right? And who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Sounds like that's the situation. It's the comparison. You're rich and you dress with expensive clothing, best car, and then at your door gate there is a man in need. He wants to be fed from your table. It sounds like it's not happening though, right? So that's how much we know. Okay, what happened? Verse 22, poor man died. Poor guy died first. Okay, Lazarus died first and was carried by angels to Abraham's side, which refers to heaven, right? In the Old Testament. And the rich man also died. So both died, right? Both died. Okay, and he ended up in Hades, hell, being in torment. Now he's in hell, right? The rich man without a name. He's in torment. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus as his side. So he could see Abraham far off, but he could see him. This is the story of Jesus, right? Lazarus at his side. And the rich man in hell, in torment, he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." What kind of mercy? Can you send Lazarus, that beggar, to here to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue? Why? Because I'm in anguish in this flame. So he's begging for one drop of mercy. One drop of mercy. Abraham said, "Son, remember, you are in your lifetime, receive your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, bad things." That's the way it was, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between you and I, there is a great chasm, great gulf that has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. In other words, when you end up, after you die, that's final. That's final. Okay? Where am I? Oh, I forget. Okay, right here. Verse 27. And then the rich man said, "Then I beg you." He begs again, right? He begs again. "Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus, that beggar, right, to my father's house? For I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Could you send him to warn my family so that they don't come here? You know, I was meditating today. What is the point of Jesus' story telling the audience, telling you? I think this is the key word, warning. Warning. Please listen, because we need to be warned about this. We don't want to beautify this. I was really meditating about this today, this morning. Lord, what's the point of the story? Warning, warning, warning. Lest they also come into the place of torment. And then Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. They have the Bible. They have the Bible." Right? Let them hear them. Let them hear them. Do you listen to God's word? And he said, "No, Father Abraham, I have a better idea. If someone goes to them from the dead. In other words, if there is a resurrection, supernatural power shown, they will repent. Sounds smart, right? And then Jesus said, or Abraham said, if they do not listen to the Moses and the prophets, if they don't listen to the Bible, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. That's the story. Do you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? If you don't, you're heading toward hell. 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 According to Jesus. Okay, I want to finish up with hope, because gospel is the hope. But you will not find hope to be hope unless you see the desperate state of you. You will not. That's why you laugh. You brush off. When Holy Spirit speaks to you, you say no. You resist. You refuse. Don't do that. Right? R.C. Sproul sums up the doctrine of hell like this. Hell then is an eternity before the righteous, ever-burning wrath and justice of God. That's a scary picture. You don't want to stand before me and I begin to pick on all your wrongs. You don't want to do that. Let alone U.S. government, Larry Nassar. You think he's a wicked man? I don't think he's... That's us. That's us. 175 years, 165 girls, you sick person. And you better? Are you better? Can you really say I'm better? Come on, people. Can you point finger at him? He's a sick person. Right? Standing before righteous, ever-burning wrath of God, suffering torment, from which there is no escape and no relief. Done. And you will continue to sin, continue to fear. I ask you to go home. May the Holy Spirit help you. Think about this. There are nights when you feel so angry because people misunderstand you and judge you. Can you imagine you do that for a whole month? Whole year? There were times when you were fearful. I remember when I was fearful. The sin is so heavy upon me. I shared this many times. Can you imagine that? For a whole month and whole year? 10 years? There were times I was angry. Can you imagine you get angry and bitter and grumbling? For many, 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 many years. And there is no drop of mercy. Therefore, there is no way for you to repent. There's no way for you to repent. There's no way for you to repent. There is no desire to repent. Only thing you want to do is hate God and hate other people. That's hell. Spending eternity with devil and his angels. That's according to the scripture, my brothers and sisters. Why is Jesus warning us? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it out. If your eye causes you to sin, and your computer. Break it. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it out. You think that's hyperbole? I don't think that's hyperbole. I really don't think that's hyperbole. Here's the glimpse of hope, okay? Understanding hell is crucial to our drive to appreciate the work of Christ. Okay? And to preach his gospel. Okay? John MacArthur says people do not have to do anything to go to hell. They just have to do nothing to go to hell. Okay? If you remain where you are, you will end up there. Yeah. That's why Jesus keeps saying, time's up. I want to preach to you. The kingdom is near. Come and surrender fully. Don't be a fool. Don't be a stubborn person. This is not a time for you to be stubborn. This is not a time for you to be stubborn. And do not resist what Spirit is speaking to you. Right? What happened on the cross? Everything that Jesus taught happened on the cross. State of separation. He was completely separated from everyone, including God the Father. Right? Complete separation. And the state of association. All sin of humanity. I can't even imagine what that is. Was placed upon him. Right? And there was accusation, blame, hate, everything upon him. Third, it was a state of punishment from the righteous justice of God. And he took once and for all the punishment upon himself. That was hell on the cross, people. Whatever he taught, he took upon himself. Eternal state. Now if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. Do you need more? How many times did you hear this? Why do you resist then? Why do you resist? I want to be a, you know, like Billy Graham, preacher. You need to repent today. Today. Time's up. Okay? Time's up. You got to get off that bus. Okay? And you got to come to him. Unreserved. Surrender everything. Don't be proud. You have nothing to be proud. Okay? Time's up. We're going to talk about his love. Maybe not today as much. Why does he do this? Because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. So whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. Let's pray.